Does it amaze anyone else that our Maker knows our name? And not only does He know our name, but He knows the number of hairs on our head or the number we used to have. He knows the number of the grains of sand. It's just so amazing. And yet, He wants to know us so intimately. That's just amazing. Let's sing about that.
I have a Maker. He formed my heart before even time began. My life was in His hand. He knows my name. Falls and hears me when I call. I have a Father, He calls me His own. He'll never leave me, no matter
by our love.
We will work with each other. man's dignity and save each man's pride. And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our
just a hauntingly beautiful song, isn't it? Man, love it.
Okay, we're going to do a repeat song, but it's worth repeating. How many of you have burdens? Okay, if you live long enough, you're going to have burdens. Isn't it wonderful that we can take everything to Jesus and our burdens are lightened because He helps them carry them for us? And when we can't carry them, He carries them all the way.
Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and
Jesus is very near. No, we do special music, but we'll wait till you do.
Just making sure. Welcome to the 11th annual Western Slope Camp Meeting. It is a blessing to worship God together. Amen. It is a very big blessing to get to share worship together with the Last Song Ministries and with Dr. Carl Hafner, and most of all with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is with us tonight. I want to say thank you, a resounding thank you, and you'll hear it again tomorrow. Thank you to every single person who has pitched in, whether officially or unofficially, for every chair moved, for every piece of trash picked up, for every child that you looked after as they were running around, for every person who helped in the kitchen. Thank you. This camp exists because of you. Whether you've donated money, whether you've donated time, or both, thank you. I want to also thank you personally, as Pastor Eli, as Elizer, for getting to do this with you together. It has been a pleasure to get to have Dr. Carl Hafner present with us, to learn more about sanctification by faith alone, to grow in Christ. And I hope that you have enjoyed opening up your bulletins, your little trifold programs. If you haven't done so already, make sure you get one from the booth. If we're low, let me know. We'll make some more. At the bottom of the middle page, there are questions and prompts that you can use to get to know a person maybe you haven't met yet here at Western Slope Camp Meeting. This programming is meant for worshiping God and for building new connections and fellowship. So if you haven't made a new friend yet, take a look at the insert there in the bulletin or at the middle of the bifold. There's questions there such as, what's the worst camping experience you've ever had? I bet you people have stories about that. That's a conversation starter for sure. Please take a look at that. We've made this program so that everybody from across the Western Slope, we can make opportunities to meet each other and to fellowship in the Lord. I want to introduce Joy Kaufman. She is a public health nutritionist, speaker, Jesus follower above all, and a nonprofit leader. She's went to the Johns Hopkins University and Virginia Tech graduate, who formerly worked for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services in Washington, D.C., and she's going to give us just a brief presentation here in a little bit concerning a ministry born out of the passion that she has for sustainable nutrition, and we're going to learn just a little bit about that as well.
All right. Well, thank you. It's my privilege to be here with you all, some familiar faces and some new. And hopefully by the end of tomorrow, we'll all be familiar. But a quick question for you. Hopefully, Lord willing, we'll go on. My question for you is, what if there was a positive, practical, and powerful way to share the everlasting gospel? Would you be interested in sharing it? Well, I am here today to share with you that, in fact, there is in exactly that. Hopefully. There we go. We're all good. There we go. Okay. So, would you be interested in sharing it? I don't mean the collective you. I mean you, each of you as individuals. So there is. It's called Farm Stew. You may not have heard about it. I'm wearing colorful letters. I'm not a rodeo clown, even though we're out here in the West. But we have a whole diversity of 8 ingredients in what we call the Recipe for Abundant Life. I've been leading out on this ministry inspired by the Loma Linda Blue Zone, New Start, all that. But this is a message that is geared particularly for poor and marginalized people throughout the world. And it's working wonders throughout the world. In fact, we have boots on the ground of local Adventist Christians that are trainers, training week after week in some of the poorest, hardest to reach, least Christian places in the world. And they are doing wonderful things, helping families grow their own food, have proper sanitation, raise money, earn money, quit spending money on addictive substances, but most importantly, learning about Jesus, who loves them and wants them to have an abundant life. The colors in blue there are our virtual learning trainers. And our virtual learning now is in 84 countries. And the card that you can share on my table back there, you can pass it out to anybody, or you can just send them farmstew.org learn. And we have it in 12 languages, people learning in 84 countries. So what is it? Nothing but Christ's method on steroids. And I didn't come up with that. That was our Zambian leader who shared that. Really, our trainers are mingling and sympathizing with the people, ministering to their felt but generally unspoken needs. You know, we as Adventists everywhere in the world, we dress up nice, we look really good on Sabbath morning, but you don't know, maybe their child is malnourished. Maybe they don't even have a bathroom, even a latrine in their homes. Maybe they just lost their home. We may look good on Sabbath morning, but we hurt and we have a lot of real needs. So we're ministering them, winning their confidence, and then people are following Jesus. In one Muslim village in Burkina Faso a few weeks ago, 38 people were baptized, 35 of them Muslim women, and they were given permission by their husbands and their fathers to get baptized into the Seventh-day Adventist Church because of the difference they'd seen in their lives. This is one place I got to mingle recently with indigenous people in Panama. You can see our team of local indigenous trainers. And next to me is the pastor's wife. She is leading the program. And they said that the 1 year with six trainers, we did more impact amongst indigenous people in Panama than had been done in the previous 20 or 30. We find people in serious medical need because they don't have medical care. The indigenous people up in the mountains, just like the Navajo Nation nearby here, they don't have what they need. So they get carried out in hammocks, often to their own death. This gentleman died 2 days later. And we want to reach them. We want to reach families like this little stunted family that looks like I'm a different species. That's because of malnutrition over years and years. And our trainer there next to me is trying to bring this message to them. And he's doing so successfully. Every handprint on that sign there is a certified farm stew home leader. They're illiterate, but their handprint shows that they have reached the standard of farm stew and that they're excited about the changes it's made in their lives. I just got back from Nigeria. I was invited there by the West Central Africa Division. That's 22 of the poorest and most Muslim countries in the world. And I had the privilege of being there with 5,000 pastors and their wives. We made 2,400 packets like this, which is on my table, teaching the basic things I'd love to teach you. It's a spoonful of farm stew. We shared that with pastors throughout the region, and then we trained 77 of the highest level officials in this region. Ah, you're not seeing it. Well, in that region, anyway, 54% of the people there are in extreme poverty, like my computer. Anyway, I have a little band back there that measures mid-upper arm circumference, and it's so sad. I see kids all the time that are in dire, dire need. The kids running around here that look teeny tiny, they're healthy. Kids are really, really struggling. So I want to invite you to come visit me at the booth. If you don't come visit me there, just type farm stew and sign up on Facebook. I have little reels and that kind of thing. And I'm very blessed for the opportunity to share. So I'll be around all day tomorrow as well. Praise God and thank you.
For those that don't know, and that I didn't mention and she didn't mention, Joy is from here. She lives in Paonia. She's part of the Western Slope. If you ever get down on yourself, or if you'll ever let the devil whisper in your ear, oh, we live in the middle of nowhere, Colorado. We can't make a difference in the world. Yes, we can. Yes, you can. And yes, we are. Please support this ministry. I want to invite Kathy Goley to please come forward for another announcement.
Women, do you ever feel like pressures are too much? You have to cook, you have to clean, you have to care for kids, be a spiritual leader. Then you have church activities. And nowadays, you're working full-time or half-time. Sometimes we feel like we need to be recharged. Do you feel like you need to be recharged? If you want to feel loved, valued, cared for, grow spiritually, and have a chance to share with other women, then you will want to come to the Western Slope Women's Retreat. September 11 to 13. It's going to be right here, and the speaker is going to be Marilyn Vinden, Finding Jesus in the Middle of All Life's Pressures. Exactly what we need, women. There'll be cooking class, there'll be scripture walk, prayer room, spa night, and you'll have a chance to share with other women. Besides that, we're having a slumber party. The women's dorm over there, it can fit quite a few women in, and sometimes we think, I don't know if I can do that anymore, a bunk bed and so forth. Nah, come join the party. It's fun. Even though I'm older, I can do it. You can too. You could be younger. You could be older. You can do it for a couple nights. It's only $95, which is amazing for a whole weekend of women's retreat. The books back there helps raise money for scholarship for those who can't seem to quite make and come up with the money needed. And if you ever want to give a little bit of extra so some women can come who regularly couldn't, you're welcome to see Linda and give her that money. You're not too young. You're not too old. You don't want to miss it. I'm not.
Do you mind if I share a story? I've been a nurse for 20 years. When I was in nursing school, I became friends with a classmate named John. And for 2 years, we suffered through nursing school. Anyone that's been through that ordeal understands. And when we graduated, John signed up for the Army Reserves because they would pay all the student loans off. And I was looking at it because it was a really good-looking deal. And she said, don't you even think about it. And so my buddy John...
I didn't get married to be alone.
Yeah. So my buddy John signed up for the Army Reserves, and he went through officer training school, and 2 weeks later, he got orders to go to Afghanistan. And I wrote my friend John a letter. We had moved to Northwest Arkansas. I said, John, we spent a lot of time together, but I've never shared with you the most important thing ever. And I outlined how to know Jesus, how to meet Jesus, and how to be safe no matter what happens in this life. My buddy John and a doctor friend had just finished a shift, and they were walking to the only thing to do in Afghanistan was work and go to the gym. And they were going to go to the gym. And they got a little ways in, and John said, I forgot my ID. I'll catch up with you. And as he went around the corner, there was an explosion, and his doctor friend was no more. I didn't know any of this. We had moved to a different town, and as happens when people move away, we drift apart. And John called me about 10 years later, and he said, Wiley, I need to tell you something. I have read your letter every single day. He said, I was so angry at you. I never wanted to talk to you again. That's why I didn't tell you bye when I went to Afghanistan. I didn't know. I just assumed he was with his family. He said, but I want you to know that after, let me back up. He said, He said, after my friend was killed, I read that with a different thought process. I read what you said, and you talked about heaven. I'm not good enough to go to heaven. And I struggle with that. And someone told me a couple of months ago that you don't have to be good enough. That's the good news. He said, so I'm just calling you today to let you know that I'm getting baptized, that I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou be. me, come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
Just
Sabbath. I was hoping nobody would say that, because if you are just joining us tonight, all week we have erroneously been, greeting one another with happy, because every day this week has felt like Sabbath. But let the record show, I am the most legit so far. We are that close to the real Sabbath in just a few hours. So I say to you sincerely, happy Sabbath. And this week we've been talking about how do we live that abundant life in Christ. And tonight we're going to grapple with two big questions that we all face. How do we enter into that life with Christ? We have to have clarity on these two big existential questions. We're just going to look at one verse, and although it is very short, Ephesians 2:10, it is loaded. In that one short verse, we find the answer to two big questions that will not be ignored. Namely, who am I? Identity. And why am I here? Purpose. So let's begin, and let's read this verse together, okay? And if we could just read it like we are really, really happy to be at Western Slope Camp Meeting with lots and lots of enthusiasm. Everybody reading nice and loud together. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. The two big questions. Who am I? He speaks to our identity. Quick, fun story about identity. Well, in this case, mistaken identity. My wife and I were flying home to Ohio from Honolulu, Hawaii. When we got to the airport, we discovered that there had been a security breach earlier that day, which meant the line to get through TSA snaked all the way through the terminal, spilling out onto the sidewalk. We were there plenty early, not to panic. Found our place in the very back of the line. We waited for about an hour, and that's when I realized I forgot the brand new camcorder I had just purchased for that trip. I left it in the rental car. I said, Shree, I am sick. I'm going to go back. There's no way I'm going to catch this flight tonight, but I'll tell you what, I'll figure something out. I'll get home tomorrow. I'll catch up with you back home, but I just have to go get that camera. And so I caught a taxi over to the rental car place. Fortunately, it was still in the car. I grabbed it, took the same taxi back to the terminal, and I'm standing there wondering, okay, now what should I do? I knew I didn't have enough time to get through security, but I didn't know exactly what to do when a security officer walked by me and said, you can come with me. So, okay, so I fall in step next to him, and he explains, look, we get a lot of celebrities on the island like you. So anytime I spot one, I take them through a private security entrance, because a celeb like you should never have to wait in a line that long, right? And I said, right, right. And I said, oh, you must have been at the camp meeting where I was speaking this weekend. He said, oh, no, I didn't know you were speaking at a camp. What did you call it? I just love all your movies. Now, I have posted a couple of family videos on YouTube, but I was surprised that he had recognized me from that. And so I asked him, of all of my movies, which one was your favorite? He said, oh, hard to say, there's so many of them, right? Right, right, right. But if you had to choose, well, you were great in White Men Can't Jump. Well, I'd never seen the movie. And I loved you, he said, in The Hunger Games. Another movie I've never seen. Then he said, and my favorite sitcom of all time to this day is cheers. Cheers. And then I knew, because whenever I upload a picture on these celebrity look like me websites, I always get matched with Woody Harrelson. And then he asked me, he said, there was just such magic with the cast of that sitcom. Do you ever get together with the old gang? And I answered truthfully, I might add, I haven't seen any of them for forever, which is true. By this point, though, we're walking into this private room, and I see the security apparatus set up, and I'm thinking, this is how people end up in jail. So I thought, you know, I better come clean. And I said to him, now, you're probably going to need to see my ID, right? He shrugged, said, why? I know who you are. And I'm thinking, yeah, I do too now. And besides, he added, celebs like you, they always carry an alias. And I do carry an alias. Carl Hafner is my alias, which I would still argue is the perfect alias for Woody Harrelson, because Woody and I were born within 2-3 weeks apart. Like, we almost have the same year, same birthday. Not only that, but he grew up in Lebanon, Ohio at the time. We were living in Waynesville, Ohio, about 10 miles down the street. Not only that, but when Woody Harrelson was in college, fun fact, he felt a calling to ministry. And if you do a little sleuthing online, you discover that Woody Harrelson is 5'10", 165 pounds, size 10 shoe, check, check, check. A perfect alias for Woody Harrelson. I got to the gate before Cherie did. Thank you, yes. She was shocked to see me. Did you decide not to go get the camera? Oh no, I have it right here, I should. How did you get through security? And she recognizes that look, and then she demanded, did you do something illegal? I said, well, it was a gray area. And I said, no. Why? I mean, no. Then she demanded, what did you do? And I kind of looked away, and then her voice escalating, you tell me the truth, Carl Hafner. And I said, shh, don't call me that here. Because here, my identity is Woody. Call me Woody Harrelson. What's your identity? Not to this day. I love visiting Honolulu, where everyone knows my name, except my wife, Cherie, and they are always glad I came. What's your identity? Paul helps us with this. It's a short verse, but it's loaded. He answers this identity question when he says, we are God's handiwork. Some translations put it, we are God's perfect masterpieces. Our youngest daughter, a few years ago, spent the year studying abroad at our Adventist College in Florence, Italy. Now, I hadn't been to Florence for 40 years when I was our daughter's age, but I still, 4 decades later, remember the moment I stood in the shadow of that magnificent marble masterpiece, Michelangelo's statue of David. I must have stood there for 45 minutes. It was like I could hardly breathe. I was so mesmerized by the perfection of this piece. I remember staring at the veins in the back of David's hands, right? And then looking at the perfectly shaped calf muscle. And so I said to the family when we went over there for spring break, I said, I don't care what we do, but I have to go back and see that statue. It made that kind of an impact on me. And sure enough, when I stood there again, I was just blown away. And this is the language Scripture uses to help us understand your identity, my identity in Christ. You are His perfect masterpiece. The word there is poema, from which we get our word poem. Now, our oldest daughter was an English major, and she tells me how when she signed up to take a class in poetry, she thought that it would be a lot easier to write a poem because many of them are just really short. And she said, Dad, quite the opposite is true. A good poem is really hard to write because of the trillions of possible combinations. You're seeking the only right, perfect word. There are no extra words, right? And again, that's our identity. God's perfect poem. This is God's heart. As we've been talking about all week, the thing our Father cares most about is to be in relationship with you. I was at the Columbus, Ohio airport, had opportunity to practice my primary spiritual gift, eavesdropping, listening in on a conversation between a dad and who I guess to be his maybe 5-4-year-old son, something like that. This kid was just totally taken by all of the airplanes and jets taxiing out on the tarmac, and he would point at this and then at that. Oh, Daddy, look at this one. It's coming in for a landing. Oh, watch it. Oh, perfect landing. And he'd clap. Oh, look at this one taking off. And he said, Daddy, when I get big, I just, more than anything in the world, I just want to be an airplane driver. Can I drive airplanes when I get big? And the father said, sure, son. You can be a pilot. You have to read a lot of books. Oh, I will, Daddy, I will. I promise I will. I want to drive an airplane. There was a pause. Then the kid said, Daddy, when you were my age, what did you want to grow up to become? And I loved the father's answer. He said, only one thing, son. The only thing I ever wanted to grow up to become was your daddy. That is what our Heavenly Father wants more than anything else in the world, to be your Abba, your daddy, to be in personal, intimate relationship with you. This is our identity. I am God's perfect poem, His masterpiece, in whom He is well pleased. Now, the juxtaposition in this verse is interesting because Paul suggests that we can be both a perfect masterpiece and a work in progress at the same time. Interesting, right? And that's what we've been talking about, sanctification. Because Paul then goes on to explain why we are here. Your purpose is what? He says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus. In other words, you're not here by accident, but rather you were crafted by the very hand of our God, our Creator, created in Christ Jesus. But why? What's the purpose? To do good works, to bring light into a really dark world, to bring hope to the hopeless, to do good works. You're not here by accident. God created you here for a purpose, to do good works. And then he doubles down here on this idea that you were created by God, which God prepared in advance. You're not here by accident. God prepared in advance for us to do. To do what? To live our purpose. To do good works. I have an app. It was created by a friend. And it occurs to me right now, I forgot to bring my phone up, and it's probably okay. Because you can see the app here. It's called the Do Something Good app. And this is my friend Kevin, who created the app. He based the app on Ephesians 2:10 and found it to be his calling to encourage others to understand their purpose, to do good works. And so the app is really simple. I was going to pull up the suggestion today, but typically it's just something like this. It'll say something nice, and then you can hit I did it, or if you can't do it, there's an option on it that says I can't do that today, and it will give you another one. And then once you say I did it, then there's just a little note that gives you some encouragement. And most every morning I get notified to open this app. And it just is a reminder to me why I'm here, to do good works. And so one morning, I was traveling from the West Coast to Ohio, and I opened up the app, and the suggestion was make a child smile. And so I got a story out of that, and shared that story at a commencement address that I gave at the Walla Walla University graduation. After giving that commencement address, I get a letter from my friend, Kevin. Hi, Carl. I just wanted to let you know how incredibly heartwarmed and thankful I am that you've had such a fun and inspiring experience with my app. I was at the Walla Walla graduation, and when you started telling that story, my eyes got as big as pies. And not because I'm so proud of this app, but because, don't miss this, it affirms my purpose. It's really all of our purpose, right? To do good works. It just affirms why I'm here. To encourage others to do good works. And that's what the app does. And it makes me so glad. I keep hearing from people as you keep telling your fantastic story, and it makes my day every time. Thank you. Not sure if you knew the backstory, but the creation of this app for me was multi-purpose. I just lost my ideal job at Google. I was struggling with falling into bouts of depression and negative self-talk, and the app was a way to focus my efforts on something productive with the goal of helping others find their purpose in life. In many ways, every time I hear and see the app succeeding, I feel personally affirmed and encouraged that I have value. And I wanted to scream, "Oh, Kevin, you have value, buddy. You have value. God created you in advance to do good works." Now, to really make sense of his kind letter, I suppose I should tell you the story that I shared at that graduation. I was flying that morning back home to Ohio, opened up the app. It said, make a child smile. filed it in the back of my mind, went to the airport. We were just getting ready to board when they made the announcement, "So sorry, we've discovered a maintenance issue that has to be addressed. Don't leave the boarding area. It will only take about 5 or 10 minutes. So if you've ever traveled, you know what that means, don't you? It's not going to take 5 or 10 minutes. Like, just get ready to grow a beard or something, because you're going to be here for a while. And I was super stressed because the margins were really tight that day in order for me to get home for an important board meeting that night at the church. And 5 to 10 minutes stretched into 2 hours. By this point, I was just ticked off, because I knew I'd already texted the elder and said, "Hey, I'm not going to be able to make it back tonight. I'm really sorry." As I was boarding and scanned my boarding pass, the computer alerted the agent to the fact that they had given me an upgrade to first class. Well, I was still in a salty mood, but I was a little happier with the upgrade. So that was good. And I get in the plane and I'm putting my stuff away when I overhear the two pilots talking. And the one says to the other, "No, no, no, that's a different issue. We're going to have to get the people off the plane again." Oh, you've got to be kidding me. And there were very few people had boarded at that point, so they didn't even use the PA system in the cabin. Instead, the pilot just stepped out and he said, "Hey, sorry, folks, but we found another maintenance thing that we have to address, but not to worry. You finish the sentence. It should just take, 5 to 10 minutes. So I'm putting my stuff together, and just then this kid shoots forward from the back of the plane and she throws herself into the seat directly in front of me. And she squeals with delight, "Grandma, Grandma, this is the most comfortable chair I've ever sat in. It's more comfortable than my giant beanbag at home." I looked back, and Grandma, with the assistance of a walker, is slowly making her way forward, and she scolds the girl, saying, "Gwendolyn, you get out of that seat. That's first class. You can't sit there. That's reserved for only really rich people." And Gwendolyn jumped up and said, "Well, someday, Grandma, I'm going to be really rich, because I want to sit in that seat." We all got off the plane. 5 minutes stretched into 10 minutes, stretched into 30 minutes, stretched into 45 minutes. And I know this is bad theology, but to this day I wonder if God would have kept us waiting there, however long it would have taken, to finally get through my thick skull and remind me, "Oh, that's why I'm here, to make a child smile. That's my purpose, to do good works." And so when this dawned on me and I finally connected the dots, I raced to the agent behind the desk and arranged for a new seating assignment. And as soon as we got that set, I heard the announcement, "It's time to board, friends." And so I took my place in the back of the plane, my new seating assignment, just sitting there with giddy anticipation, because I had a sense this is going to be good. And sure enough, I watched the flight attendant walk toward the back of the plane, and that I could hear her in this conversation. She approaches the girl, I guess to be, I don't know, 9, 10 years old. She said, "Are you Miss Gwendolyn Harris?" Girl looks up. "Yes, ma'am." She said, "I'm really sorry, Miss Harris, but there's been a mistake, and we really need your help. I'm sorry to inconvenience you, but because of weight and balance issues, we can't have you sitting in the back of the plane. We really need you to sit up in first class. Would that be okay?" She jumped out of her seat and squealed loud enough to make all of us lose half of our permanent hearing. And she shouted, "I'm going to first class!" And you know, all of us in the airplane were in a really sour mood at this point of the day. And she just single-handedly lifted all of our spirits. Like, we were all laughing. And then she, as she was making her way to first class, high-fived every single passenger, told every single one of us, "I'm going to first class, I'm going to first class, I'm going to first class, I'm going to first class." And by now, everybody was roaring. We got such a kick out of her. I was entertained the entire flight watching the cardiovascular workout that the flight attendant got, because little Wendolyn discovered that in first class you get unlimited refills on Coca-Cola. She got serious exercise running back and forth, back and forth. Then when we landed, I was going to wait until I could kind of follow her out. And most of the people had exited, but I could overhear her calling her mother, "Mommy, Mom, you're never going to guess where I am. No, 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 I'm not still stuck at the airport. No, no, no. I'm in first class, Mom. I'm sitting in first class." And did you know you get unlimited Coca-Cola in first class? And I sat next to this really nice guy. His name was Mr. Jim, and he didn't want his chocolate chip cookie, and so I got two chocolate chip cookies. And then, Grandma? Oh, no, no, no. She had to sit all the way in the back with the poor people. As we were waiting for our luggage at baggage claim, I glanced up and caught Grandma's eye. She flashed me a beautiful 1,000-watt smile. And then she mouthed the words, "Thank you." And then she gave me the sweetest wink. Now, I have flown a lot in my life, but if you ask me about my favorite trip of all time, I'm going to tell you about the flight when I got a serious upgrade from first class to coach. And I got a reminder of why I'm here. To make a child smile. To do good work. My daughter gave me a prayer journal. On the outside of it is a poem written by a 20-something social influencer named Danielle Koch. And so each morning when I pull out that prayer journal and write in it, I see this poem, which is based on Ephesians 2:10. She writes, "You were created to do good work. Work that empowers and inspires, liberates and transforms, restores and softens." Yes, work can be hard, as it was meant to be. The verb itself calls us to action, rejecting passivity and demanding sustained effort. It provokes, agitates, and disturbs. But this work, the call for justice, is good work. It defends the oppressed and frees the captive. It tears down walls and destroys barriers. It changes things. So, when you are feeling weary or hopeless or spent, just remind yourself that the darkness is being flooded by marvelous light. Yes, this is work, and it is good. So to close, how about we once again read together Ephesians 2:10, but I've paraphrased it just a stitch to make it personal. A prayer that I try to pray every day, just a reminder to myself of who I am and why I'm here. Okay, I call it my prayer a phrase. So how about we all read this together? For I am God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for me to do.
We're going to sing our closing song, Surely the Presence of the Lord is in this place.
Get ready for the Sabbath. Remember to do good unto one another and also to the camp. Remember, if you see some trash, to pick it up. If you use the communal showers, remember to wipe down just a little bit. We've been doing an excellent job. Let's keep that up and enter the Sabbath rest with a big smile, with a very clean camp, and with a lot of friendship. I'd like to invite Pastor Carl Hoffner to come up together again as we pray out our service tonight. Heavenly God, thank you so much for leaders that teach us more about reliance on you rather than reliance on self. We're asking, Lord, that you will create in us this new heart that is prepared for good works. Prepare us, Lord, for this beautiful Sabbath day that is coming, and give us your presence and your spirit even as we go off to sleep tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Be blessed and go be a blessing.